Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Biz Connect radio show today with myself, Martin White. We've got a couple of super studio guests with us today, and I'll ask them to introduce themselves in a moment. We'll be with you for the next hour or so. We've got some music and some great conversation. You can follow us on social media at Kent_Biz, and we also have a dedicated LinkedIn and Facebook show page as well, so do please search for Biz Connect radio show and find us there. And we also have a website, kentbizconnect.co.uk, and you can find out more information about today's guests on our website, and also listen back to the show at some point, probably tonight or tomorrow morning. I would imagine it will be up. If you're an Ashford based business or organization and you have an interesting story to tell, do please get in touch. We would love to invite you on to the show to talk about everything that you do. We've got a very topical show lined up, as always, today. We're going to be talking about inclusiveness in the workplace and neurodiversity in particular, and how we can help young people with disabilities into meaningful work. And I think it was last week that it was showcased that young people in particular are struggling to get into the workplace. And obviously, you know, young people with a disability are going to struggle that much more. So we're going to have a very positive show today talking about all of that. And I think, without further ado, therefore, we should ask our show guests to introduce themselves. To my right, we have...
Hi, I'm Erica, and I am an intern with Lisa's Kitchen.
Hi, lovely to have you with us today, Erica. And to my left...
Hiya, afternoon. I'm Zoe and I'm the founder of Lily's Social Kitchen.
Brilliant, Zoe. Lovely to have you with us as well. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to play a little bit of music that Zoe and Erica have chosen. And when we come back, we're going to have more of a conversation with both of you. So join us after this.
Kent Biz Connect, connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Biz Connect radio show today. As we were saying before the break, we are delighted to have two super guests in the studio with us today. We have Zoe Rhoda and Erica Loy from Lily's Social Kitchen. Welcome to the show.
Afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, lovely to have you. Thank you so much for coming. So, Zoe, Lily's Social Kitchen, I'd want to understand a little bit more about that, if I can, in terms of where it all began and what you're kind of primarily here to do. So, in your own words, tell us all about
Absolutely.
Lily's.
Absolutely. Lily's was set up in 2017, so we're coming up to our 10th birthday next year, which is absolutely amazing. Wow. I've got a social care background and wanted to open a project that would support people that are neurodivergent or got additional needs to support them to get a job. So we have a cafe in Canterbury, projects in Maidstone and Hythe, and our catering kitchen here in Ashford. And we use all of those to train our young people how to be at work, mm-hmm. and how to behave at work.
Brilliant. So Erica, can I bring you in nice and early?
Yes, because of course you can.
We've been chatting off air and I know you work at Holiday Extras.
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Just outside Hyde. So tell us a little bit about your role there, please.
So my role is to serve food and cake for the people that work on Holiday Extras. Mm-hmm. So it could be people that work in the call office, it could be people that want to go to meetings, but they say, oh, I won't have enough time for that. And I'll say, hey, it's okay, like pre-order, and then we can write your name down, time, whatever, come to collect, we're here for you. Uh-huh.
So that's a busy lunchtime service that you deliver there.
So busy.
Yeah. How are you able to be here today? Because we've stolen you away from your job.
Yep. Sorry, Amy. Who could be listening from Holiday Extras? I'm really sorry. I'm going to be there with you tomorrow.
So Amy's holding the fort, is she? Okay.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Good. Okay. So, Zoe, you mentioned lots of things in the beginning there. So you have coffee shops.
Yeah.
You have a restaurant.
Yeah.
Stroke coffee shop in Canterbury.
Yeah, coffee shop.
Yeah. Because I've been there.
Yep.
So the idea is that people like Erica actually deliver front of house, back office functions, everything really, every kind of role that a business needs to kind of make it work,
yep.
you can deliver training for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when I set the project up, that was fundamental, that the idea was that the business would be run by our young people and we would just be there as facilitators. It also means that we can job carve. So if someone comes they want to learn social media or they want to learn website or they want to learn finance or business development, there's all those opportunities. We also passionately feel that hospitality teaches a lot of transferable skills. So Erica said earlier about when we were having coffee about increasing confidence and talking to customers and timekeeping and just how to behave at work. Our young people don't leave and necessarily work in hospitality. They go and work in all different
and that's
industries.
A really interesting point, isn't it? Because you said, you know, talking off air, that not everybody wants a career in hospitality, you know, but some people might be very interested in marketing and social media and, you know, other aspects of the business, might be finance, for example. That does kind of tick their box and they can get that experience.
And if you talk to business owners and say to them, what skills do you need a young person to have for an entry level role? They won't talk about practical skills. They'll talk about being reliable, being resilient, good timekeeping. Being confident, being able to speak to people, you know, they're the sort of things that business owners tell us they want. And you can learn all that by working working in hospitality.
So where Erica works at Holiday Extras, is that their own cafe operation that you have a concession for? How does that actually work?
The sandwich bar they built for us.
Right.
So we've been doing their catering for a few years. They had a prior relationship with our head chef. And then we started a sandwich delivery before Christmas. So we used to deliver every day and people we had a website that people could order from. But they wanted something with a bit more flexibility where people could, I want that hold the tomatoes. They built and opened the sandwich bar specifically for us to then move in.
That is amazing. Yeah. And, you know, that sounds like a very conscious kind of commitment on the part of Holiday Extras to actually embrace more of a kind of social strict community based kind of presence and set up there. Is that something that more and more businesses are actively looking to do in your experience?
Yeah, I think so. We've got a similar relationship with Golden Homes in Maidstone. So we run the cafe in their office block and they'd made a conscious effort. We've been there for 6 years. And they'd made a conscious effort to find a social enterprise to run that. And I think that's a nice, although it's great when people give you money and you're someone's charity of the year or partner of the year, that's amazing. But what these opportunities do is mean we can reach more people. It gives us an income stream. And it's really practical and doesn't really involve that much effort. You're also bringing a service to the staff. So for Holiday Extras, they're very remote. So they wanted a good food offer for their staff that was on site. Because obviously there's not really anywhere for them to nip out and go and get some lunch.
Yeah, makes perfect sense.
So it's a win-win. So these, we're really lucky. We've got a lot of corporate and business-to-business partnerships like this where people offer pro bono support, come and do workshops with our young people or just give us a bit of a leg up and an opportunity to increase our income. And offer opportunities to people.
Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah, really nice.
Yeah, and I was delighted to be invited to your Canterbury Cafe launch.
Yeah.
Must be a couple of years ago now coming up, isn't it?
24.
Yeah,
nearly 2 years ago. Yeah, that's when we opened there.
Gosh. Yeah. Tell us how that's going. Because you're you know, Canterbury, bustling city centre, but lots of competition, I would imagine, when it comes to kind of high street coffee shops and offering and everything
absolutely.
Else.
So, yeah, and it's definitely been a journey finding the right menu. So if you come and visit again, it's totally different. We've just launched a grab and go. So the sandwiches and the salad bowls, delicious handmade sandwiches made by our team and our trainees in our production kitchen in Ashford and then delivered over so that people can come and grab and go. And we're just about to launch a delivery service to people within the city centre. So for businesses that are in the city centre, we can drop off your lunch.
Yeah, so because you're no different to any other business in that respect. You know, you have to turn a profit. Otherwise, it's just not economical to do, is it?
Absolutely. It was really important for us to prove that people that sit in our beneficiary group can work in a business that makes a profit, washes its face, you know, a commercially led business, because it's them learning in those expectations. Somebody has paid, you know, whatever they pay. I don't even know how much our coffees are. I paid £3.50 for a coffee, that they're getting the same service. So it's about us elevating the expectations of our young people, because my experience is sometimes we set very low expectations for people with disabilities or that are neurodivergent. So we set quite high expectations for them.
And people should see the boss getting stressed, because, you know,
they see that regularly.
So, Erica, tell us a little bit about your role, kind of day to day. Give us, are you, I mean, is hospitality your thing? Is kind of catering, is that what you're really interested in?
I feel like I love learning. I want to be able to be like the Jackie of all trades. So coming from 4 years of being in a volunteer retail job that I do at Pilgrim's Hospice in Dymchurch, I'm actually like passing those skills over, but to like a cafe. So it's really lovely to be in that perspective, because I've always been served. I've never been the one serving people, so it's a lovely change.
Yeah, and I can tell you're very much a sort of people skills kind of person, aren't you? You like that interaction with people and conversation and
I literally give my all to like Lily's, and I really love and appreciate everyone, because they're a lot more like accepting because I'm like neurodivergent, and I just want to be able to find a job where I have that sort of thing, so hopefully one day I'll move it forward after finishing.
I think
September.
That's wonderful. Yeah, well done you. And Zoe, just want to talk about some of your kind of more business kind of commercial operation when it comes to corporate catering and private parties and things like that. Because obviously you are Ashford based in terms of, you know, being able to provide that service as well. So give us a flavour for that.
The kitchen's in Ashford, but we do cover East Kent. And sometimes if it's a big event, we've scooched over into West Kent. All of the surrounding areas. The catering business can be corporate catering. We've done conferences, functions, canapes, and then private events. So weddings, christenings, funerals, anything really the team will do. And they can be small business lunches. That's kind of how we started at Holiday Extras, to be fair. It was a boardroom lunch. And then gradually kind of went on from there. So it's anything from 10 people to 200.
If I'm a business, you know, listening in today, and you know, I have regular kind of client meetings, or even maybe one big event coming up, and I need some kind of local catering for, people can get in touch with you through what's the best way to do that?
Probably best to drop me an email, but we have got a website. So our website is liliescommunity.org, and there's an inquiry form on there for the catering. And then my email is zoe@liliescommunity.org, and we often our food's banging.
Andy,
our head chef, is incredible, has lots of experience, and we are here to prove that buying social doesn't mean buying rubbish.
No, far from it. I mean, I've certainly got first-hand experience of that at Canterbury, and I'm sure, you know, it's the same where you work, Erica, as well. Fantastic, good. Okay, well, I think what we're going to do is we're going to play a bit more music. We've got one of your tracks from Heather Small, Erica. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the specific training programs that you offer, because we've spoken about kind of business engagement and that side of things. But I want to get into, you know, what's in it for people like Erica, for example, that are perhaps starting out in their career. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this.
Kent Biz Connect on Radio Ashford with Martin White.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for staying with the BizConnect radio show today. We've got Zoe Roder and Erica Loy from Lily's Social Kitchen in the studio with us today. It's live radio, so Erica's just popped out to the loo.
It's just me.
So she and me, Zoe. So what I'd like to do, and we kind of touched on it briefly in terms of the internship that that Erica's kind of enrolled on, but I'd like to talk a little bit more in detail about that, really, in terms of the types of programs that you offer for individuals that are looking to, you know, get the training that you provide to start their career.
Yep. So we have two main training programs. So we have we run a supported internship program. So a supported internship is a government scheme to support people that are 16 to 25 and have an EHCP to get into work. And we run those with an amazing organisation called Kent Training and Apprenticeships.
Sorry, an EHCP?
Yeah, Education Healthcare Plan.
Okay.
I've got to scooch in to let Erica by.
Erica's back. Carry on, yeah.
Education healthcare program. So back in the day, we might have called them a statement of educational needs. So they're for young people that have additional needs to support their health and their education. Mm-hmm. So on this program, young people still get to do their functional skills. So they still continue to study their maths and English with Kent Training and Apprenticeship. And we run this program for 6 months. It's a year program. Mm-hmm. So they're with KTA doing their functional skills for a year. Mm-hmm. But they have a 26-week placement with us.
Wow.
So they'll do around 16 hours a week. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that can be less, and it can be up to 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Working practically in one of our projects. So like we said before, they might be working with me on the marketing and comms, or they might be in the cafe, they might be in the catering, they might be with Tiffany doing our business development. Mm-hmm. And throughout that program, we teach them all the practical things to be at work. So we have online rotas, they learn how to request holiday, they learn to do what you do off if you're off sick. Mm-hmm. And just that general behaviour, and really supporting young people. A lot of them come straight from school, so you really are supporting that transition from school into employment. Yeah. So at the beginning of the program, usually the first 12 weeks, all we say is, but you're not at school now, you're at work. Mm. Because there's a mental shift, there's an attitude shift. Mm.
What they need support with. Yeah, and I guess this applies to young people generally, you know, school leavers in general.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, what is it that school leavers struggle with when it comes to, you know, being in work as opposed to being at school?
I think the way you speak to your teacher is very different to how you speak to your boss, mm-hmm. or your line manager or your colleague or your peer. Mm-hmm. So we often talk about when your teacher asks you to do something, you might huff, you might roll your eyes, mm-hmm. you might slouch in your chair, you know, that kind of, which is not okay, but is okay. Like, it's kind of accepted.
But not in the workplace.
But not in the workplace, you know, if you ask somebody to do a job and they roll their eyes and huff.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is that body language, your attitudes, and the staff are really skilled at picking that up in the moment and kind of either saying in the moment, do you really think that's appropriate to do that to me, who's just asked you to do something?
Yeah, roll your eyes at me and huff and turn away.
Yeah, and so we describe it that we kind of buff off the rough edges. Yeah. Because for an employer, you know, if they go straight into paid work, so they're not paid to do an internship. It's a program of education, so they can't be paid. Mm-hmm. If they went straight to paid employment in that state, that's where I think employers find it really difficult to work with young people, because there is that sort of 10-12 week bit where you're supporting them to make that adjustment.
Yes.
So what we do is we do that bit and buff off those edges, and so they're learning practical skills: how to make a cappuccino, how to make a cake, how to use a till. But they're just learning. It's really hard to articulate what they learn. Mm-hmm. But our biggest feedback is that people increase in confidence.
Yeah.
And they go into a workplace knowing what to expect and what the standards of behaviour is in that. So we cover all of that in 26 weeks. It used to be a year, but the funding changed. And unfortunately, we've had to reduce the term that people are with us. Mm-hmm. So we cram all that into 26 weeks,
and it's amazing. I guess in many ways as well, isn't it? It's you know, a young person's first experience of adulthood, isn't
Absolutely.
It? And if I think back to my own, you know, my own kind of, you know, when I was starting out in, you know, you don't know how to behave appropriately, and you know, it applies to any young person starting out, doesn't it? It's so important.
Absolutely. And that's where apprenticeships are great. So one of my children went down that route, and again, it supported them with that transition from school to work and how to behave at work.
I
agree. Young people are not, and particularly if they've been in a SEN school, they're quite protected. And then we're expecting them to go into the world of work. And it's just too much. So we sort of sit in that bridge.
Erica, let's bring you in again. What's your what was your kind of experience of that side of things? I mean, you were saying that you'd worked in pilgrims' hospices, for example. You've been volunteering in a kind of retail shop environment. So were you more kind of familiar with the kind of the expectation around that, or
I feel like I was, but I feel like I was going back to square one, because obviously hospitality and retail are two completely different industries, and so going from one thing to another thing, it's like oh my goodness, what am I doing? But I just get in the mindset of like, you're here for a reason, and that's to get a paid job gradually at some point.
Yeah, and you were saying you love the whole learning experience anyway, so you were a bit like a sponge, I guess, just kind of soaking it all in. And,
but also a guinea pig to like new things, and it's like, I'll test this out. Oh yeah, I will. Work on this, work on that. So I feel like Lily's, they sort of like push me, but not too much, but they like, it's sort of like baby steps, like blocks.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I'm again just thinking back to my own, you know, when I started out in work, I could have done with some of that training, to be honest with you, you know, because it's awkward on both sides. You know, you feel awkward and your employer feels awkward sometimes, because it's, you know, for whatever reason, it's just not appropriate behaviour.
Yeah, and a lot of assumptions are made that you understand what a payslip is, and you understand national insurance. A lot of young people get their first payslip and go, well, this has come out of my wages. Mm. Like, we make a lot of assumptions that young people know, but you only know until someone someone tells you.
Yeah, well, that's a great example. I remember looking at my payslip thinking, what's all this NIC that's coming out of my...
Who's taking this money?
Why isn't that in my pocket? And you're right. You know, understanding your tax code.
Yep.
All of that basic stuff, you know, we're just not prepared for that,
No, not at all. We don't teach it in schools. No, we expect young people to know.
Yeah, we should do, definitely. So that's supported internship programme.
Yep.
Tell us what else.
So we also have a KCC contract. So this is for people who are eligible for adult social care. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, we can support families with identifying that and support with that. And we have two programs, and they're called LOTS. Mm-hmm. So LOT 2 replicates the supported internship program. It's exactly the same program, and that's actually the program that Erica's doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she's funded by Adult Social Care to come to us, and that's a year programme. Mm-hmm. This ensures that we scoop up people that are over the age of 25. So because the supported internship programme is only until 25, not our criteria, that's government criteria, this means that, so like Erica, she would have just been a little bit too old to have accessed that. So she's come on the LOT 2 program, because you might be 38 and still not know how to get a job.
Yeah.
You know, we're just making an assumption that if you're over 25, you don't need that support. Mm. And you do.
There must be many people out there who have never really had a proper introduction to the world of work.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, probably, I guess, and I'm sure, you know, tell us about your own situation, Erica, but, you know, was it something that you were particularly keen to make happen?
Yeah, so in my previous cafe work, I was working in a small cafe in Hythe, and I was only there to, like, observe, but also clear plates. Mm-hmm. And I want to, like, prove to the employees, like, although I had a really, really tough experience, like, in a cafe where I didn't really have that many hours and an actual proper lunch. Mm-hmm. I am actually more than capable to actually improve on that. Yes, I have days where I come in really happy. Other days I'll come in like feeling a bit blah. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, come on. It's
don't
like,
we all? Yeah.
It's every day is mm-hmm. always different. And you learn every single day that you basically mad at the end of the day.
Yeah. So, you know, so that motivation to find meaningful work was really important to you.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Good. Okay. So, so we've got this kind of lot two.
Yeah, lot two. So that's the same. And then lot one is for people who, so a lot of our individuals that are on that program, it's more of a traditional day service model. Mm-hmm. So they might not want a job. They might not really understand what money means. Mm-hmm. But they still want to be there in our local community, feeling meaningful, having that feeling of belonging, all those things that we get from being at work.
Having a purpose.
Absolutely. Mm. And a reason to get up in the morning.
Yeah.
And so that's where, or there may be, they need a little bit longer support.
Yeah.
So whereas our lot two and our support with internship have to be a bit time limited, this one isn't time limited.
Yeah.
So we've got people that have been with us on that since 2018. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bit less pressure as well. Sometimes we butt the programs together. So they might do a year on lot one and then they'll move into the internship program or the lot two, or they might do the internship program and then stay with us if they get to the end of the program and they've still got more learning. Mm. So we can be a little bit creative around it, but we're trying to scoop up as many people as we can.
Sure. Not everybody wants to, you know, be a catering manager like Erica, for example, at the end of her training. Some people want to be out in the community doing things day to day, making a difference, making a contribution.
Yeah.
But, you know, the career side of it is
not that important. I think it's an easier sell since the pandemic, because I think we saw that where people were on furlough. So at first that was really great fun. Mm. But actually, if people were on furlough for a really long time and not going to work and not having that purpose, you know, you saw an increase in mental health issues around that. So I think it's an easier sell now to say we don't only go to work for money.
Yeah.
We go to work for all sorts of other reasons. Yeah. An example we had a few years ago was a young person who for the first time at Christmas dinner was able to talk to her siblings about her Christmas party.
Mm.
So they would come to Christmas lunch and they'd all talk about their Christmas parties and we'd had one.
Mm.
So for the first time ever, and she was 33, she was able to join in that conversation and talk about her Christmas party. And so she felt included.
Mm.
So sometimes it's just those really small things that can make a really big difference to someone's life and feeling how they are self-confident.
And also, I guess, you know, for parents, it's potentially a difficult conversation to have as well, isn't it, in terms of, you know, wanting your you know, your son or daughter to kind of have that purpose but not pushing them too much, but, you know, just being aware of the opportunity to come and work with an organization like yours to actually kind of contribute towards that, I think is important.
And that's a lot of feedback that we get from families is that increase in confidence and how it ripples out.
Yeah.
So then they'll do things at home they've never done before, or they'll start doing more things independently and using their initiative. Again, you know, the things they learn spill out and ripple into their home life, relationships with their families.
Mm-hmm.
Equally, we're supporting the families to let go of their young people because it's hard.
Of course.
It's hard.
Yeah, particularly if they've been brought up in a very caring environment, a bit closeted, I guess.
Yeah, sometimes we're supporting families with that transition too.
Yeah, so important. Okay, so we've talked about internships, we've talked about lot two, and we've talked about lot one.
Yep.
What else should people be aware of in terms of opportunities?
So we quite often spill people into apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when they finish their, if we've got a budget then and a business need, then sometimes we support apprenticeships. We don't tend to take people straight on through apprenticeship programs. It tends to be people that have gone through our other programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes might be where it would be nice. We look for businesses to partner with who might then offer a bit of work experience outside of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we begin to build that you know, for them, they're with us and we're quite nurturing. And then that next step, I suppose. We do a very few volunteer placements, but only a few, because all of these programs come attached with funding that we need. But if people don't fit the criteria for all those other aspects, then we do, we usually have, we call them subsidized placements. So we have a handful. But there is a need. We know there's a need, that there are a lot of people that don't fit the criteria for our funding that are then missing out. And so we have looked at sponsorship programs, where we could sponsor young people that don't fit this criteria, that can come through.
And in terms of kind of, I mean, obviously with apprenticeships, you know, there's a formalized, you know, kind of qualification at the end of that. You know, with the other programs that you were describing, is there a similar, you know, certificate of employability, or what is it called?
Yeah, yeah. So we use what's called the Unit Award Scheme. It's an AQA accredited program. So every September we have a celebration event where our young people are given their certificates, and their certificates are, again, like we said, from barista skills to baking skills, but also the induction, health and safety, fire safety. So they leave with a really nice portfolio of learning.
Yeah.
That they can take to an employer.
And a glowing reference from you, of course. Yeah. Of course. Amazing. Good, good, good. All right. Fantastic. Look, we're going to play a bit more music. We've got another one of your tracks, Erica. We've got Dolly Parton, 9 to 5. And then when we come back, we're just going to kind of close out the show with some final thoughts, if we can. So do stay with us, and we'll be right back after this. Welcome back, everybody, to the final part of the BizConnect radio show today. We've been having a fascinating conversation with Zoe Roder and Erica Loy from Lily's Social Kitchen. And what I'd like to do now, if we can, Zoe, is just kind of just sum up in terms of kind of final thoughts, if we can, with regard to, in particular, I think, how organisations can get more involved with Lily's Social Kitchen. And I know there's a number of areas that we were talking about there.
Yeah, so they can use us for their catering, which is a nice, easy one. They can contact me and look at sponsoring a young person to come and do some work experience in their environment, because sometimes that's really nice, because that's like the next step up for our young people. So they can come to us, we're quite caring and nurturing, and then you know, go out to a mainstream organization and kind of practice what they've learned. And I think the other important part of the work that we do is working with employers around and businesses around neuro inclusion. So we do offer workshops, we offer one-to-one coaching for people that are neurodivergent, that are struggling in the workplace, so that we can make sure that our workplaces are as neuro-inclusive as we can make them, and that that's actually really, really easy.
Yeah.
It's easier than you think it's going to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really important thing today, isn't it? You know, we need to, employers need to be thinking about, you know, being disability confident.
Yep.
You know, being more inclusive, because, you know, there's a huge kind of untapped skills resource out there, I think, at the moment.
Absolutely.
And, you know, having yourself on the show today, Erica, you know, people need to understand that. And, you know, hopefully listening to you today, people will think, crikey, you know, I'd love to have an Erica working in my business.
Oh, yeah, of course, everyone would love Erica, especially me. I would love to hear.
Everyone needs an Erica.
I'd be like, oh, Erica did it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah, brilliant. And that's, you know, that, I mean, that's such a positive story. So from your point of view, what are the kind of the key kind of things that you get out of being in the workplace, you know, on a daily basis up at Holiday Extras?
I feel like it actually reduces my anxiety. It actually helps with my mental health, because I prefer just like being busy rather than just like sitting at a desk going through all the paperwork, because I'll be like missing deadlines. I'm probably getting sacked because of the deadlines. But I just really love talking with people and actually doing stuff. Like, the more I do stuff, the more it actually helps boost my confidence, and hopefully any future employers hopefully I'll be able to help them like run the shop.
Yeah, yeah. So what is your ambition? You know, when you finish your training program, for example, is it to kind of stay in catering and be a catering manager?
I feel like I've had enough experience with like catering, and coming back to September, I think I'm gonna like go back to my retail voluntary job, whilst I look for like an actual job, because I don't really have any access to my CV and stuff, and so I want to just like make sure that I've got everything all set, because I don't want to be like, right, I'm getting a job. It's not like that, because I'm on benefits and what, like so much stuff that could stop me from getting a paid job.
Yeah,
but I want to like stop that and actually get a paid job.
Yeah.
Hopefully by the age of 30.
And where do you see yourself? I mean, if there's a business out there tuned in today thinking, I would love to have you, you know, working in my organisation, you know, customer service, for example, I think you're a natural people person.
Yeah.
You know, where do you see yourself? Where do you want to work? What's your kind of dream job?
My dream job is either like in independent coffee shops or like Costa, because we went there before we came here. Also, I love like go shopping in Primark as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's our thing.
So retail is your thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And I have to say, you know, I think in most people's experience today, you know, when it comes to customer service in retail, it's kind of sorely lacking. So, you know, the more people we can have like you working in a retail environment, I think the better. So, yeah, good luck with that.
Thank you so much.
And you never know. There might be somebody, you know, an HR manager tuned in today thinking, do you know what, we've got a vacancy coming up in September and we'd love to have a conversation.
Oh my gosh, I think I'm going to get a new phone for that.
Erica said to me before we came in, actually, whilst we were in Costa, she said that Holiday Extras, they've really made her feel safe and welcome and made her feel included. And I thought that's all that all of us want, isn't it? And we, as employers, need to work to make the Erica's feel welcome and safe. And,
yeah. Absolutely.
And belong.
So I think, I mean, we do need to bring the show to a close. Thank you both so much for coming in today and sharing your story, Erica, and also sharing all the great work that you're up to, Zoe. Just give us a final shout out, please, for how people can get in touch and find out more about all of these kind of wonderful programs.
Yeah, so our website is liliescommunity.org and my email is zoe@liliescommunity.org.
Fantastic, great. Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
It's been lovely chatting to you. Lovely to meet you, Erica.
Lovely to meet you too.
Good luck with your career.
Thank you.
And we will be back in a couple of weeks' time, as usual, with live radio again, with two super guests in the studio. So until then, it's goodbye from all of us, and hopefully the news is going to play at the top of the hour, and then we've got a little bit of rewind before Redders comes in this afternoon. So bye for now.